TNT. This is the David Curtin Show and today's news talk, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the David Curtin Show here on today's news talk, TNT. Now, this week, Parliament in the UK is back in session, as we said yesterday, after a nice three-week Easter holiday, or recess, as they call it. And we see already a lot of nonsense going through and using up parliamentary time. Yesterday, everyone was talking about the Safety of Rwanda Bill. Today, another bill is being discussed in Parliament, which is the Tobacco and Vapes Bill. And the main point of this bill, which if it gets through Parliament will become an act and a law, is that they want to introduce a total ban on purchasing tobacco products for anyone born after the 1st of January 2009. So they're going to create a two-tier society in terms of what you can purchase. So if you're born before then, you can purchase cigarettes and tobacco and vapes and cigars. If you're born after then, you can't. Now, at the moment, that isn't actually going to have any effect at all, because people born on the 1st of January 2009 and after will be 15 years old and less. So it's not going to affect anyone now, because children under the age of 16 aren't allowed to buy tobacco products anyway. But a number of people, commentators, even MPs, have said this is a completely ridiculous idea to put into law. And I see their point. I mean, I am no fan of cigarettes or cigars or tobacco products. I don't smoke myself. I wouldn't recommend that anyone start smoking, because it does have an effect on your health. But if you want to do that, it's up to you, as long as you're not harming anybody else and wafting cigarette smoke in their direction. But what happens in 10 years' time or 20 years' time, when the threshold will be not between people who are 15 years old and younger and those over, but it will be something like 30 or 35 or 40 years old? I really don't think that they've thought this through, because say you get to the year, okay, 2040, and anyone who's under 31 will not be allowed to buy cigarettes, and anyone who's over 31 will be allowed to. How is that going to be enforced? Will the shops require ID from 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds in the future to see whether they're allowed to purchase tobacco products or not? At the moment, there's no issue, as I say, but in the future, it's going to be completely ridiculous. I don't think that shops will want to do that. It will be essentially unenforceable. What happens in 20 years' time if a 35-year-old goes into a shop and purchases some cigarettes? Are the police going to come round and arrest them and fine them and put them in prison for trying to buy cigarettes when someone who's 36 is allowed to do that? The whole idea is completely and utterly ridiculous. In fact, I wonder if it can only be enforced by far more sinister means. And of course, we know that Rishi Sunak and other people in the government who are connected to the World Economic Forum want to implement digital identity, central bank digital currencies, get everything, every purchase that you make, subject to a digital surveillance and even a digital slavery system. So if you had a system of digital identity in place and you could only purchase something with your central bank digital currency wallet, which is connected to a Chinese Communist Party style social credit system, then you will get your smartphone or your chip in your hand, as they probably will have then, stick it on the till and the computer says, no, you were born in 2009 or afterwards, therefore you're not allowed to purchase some cigarettes. And if you were born in 2008, then that's fine. You can do it. The effects are chilling. And I think that this isn't going to stop with cigarettes and tobacco products. They will introduce similar things for oil, petrol, diesel, sugar products, whatever. Some meat products, indeed. The government and the World Economic Forum and the powers that be seem to be very, very against people continuing to eat healthy meat as they want to try and introduce lab-grown frankenfoods and insects into the food chain, which will be very, very detrimental to human health. This all goes along with a similar agenda in order to control people's purchases. It's completely balmy and ridiculous. Even some people that I really disrespect, such as Boris Johnson and Liz Truss, have said that this is a balmy scheme and the government should not be trying to ban things. Certainly under a certain age that will weed its way through so that you will be banned from purchasing certain things when you're an adult. This is a balmy idea. I really think that parliamentary time should be used for things that are far more useful, such as stopping the boats coming across the English Channel, which they don't seem to do, or getting rid of the nonsense of climate alarmism by repealing the Climate Change 2008 Act, which we would do in the Heritage Party, but it seems that the Uniparty, fake Conservative, Labour, Lib Dem and Green don't want to do this. Now, this bill is likely to get passed in the House of Commons because it has the support of Labour and the Lib Dems and the Conservative, fake Conservative government. Although they've said that backbench Tory MPs can have a free vote on this, there's not going to be enough of them to oppose this. It seems that the powers that be are going to put this through. The only way it might get stopped is if there is an early election, because if there is an early election and Parliament is dissolved, all unfinished business for the parliamentary year is voided, and they would have to introduce the bill again after the next King's speech in the next parliamentary session. So we'll see. Maybe this is just empty virtue signalling because they know that that's not going to get through with parliamentary time. But if it does, it's a completely ridiculous use of parliamentary time as it is. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
Talk that matters.
For once, we just need to do what's best for this damn country and not what's best for the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You're watching The David Curtin Show here on today's News Talk, TNT, and Gemma Cooper is with me to talk about the latest in the UK's news headlines. Welcome, Gemma.
Thank you very much, David. Well, you're quite right. MPs have returned after the big Easter recess. Nice Easter holiday. They've been arriving at 10 Downing Street this morning as we speak for the first cabinet meeting since the Easter break. Dave Cameron, our unelected foreign secretary, was the first to arrive, clutching several big red folders before he then jets off to Israel to talk about a diplomatic solution to the Iranian airstrikes that happened over the weekend. Also, Sunak's smoking ban. There's been a lot of comment about that already this morning. Big, big story here in the UK. In the last hour, a senior former cabinet minister has said that all this ban will do is make smoking cool, push it underground and create a massive black market for anybody born after the 1st of January 2009. And don't forget, of course, that New Zealand had this very same law with the very same date of people. You know, you can't buy cigarettes if you're born under this date. And what happened when the new government got in? They completely scrapped it. So maybe we will go the same way in the UK. Also this week, the Rwanda bill, it's ping-ponging still between the House of Commons and the House of Lords. It's gone back to the House of Lords today after some amendments were rejected by the Commons, but it is expected to be passed this week. But campaigners who are campaigning against the Bibby Stockholm barge on the south coast of England, which was set up to house migrants while they're waiting for their asylum appeals to go through, they say they're stepping up their campaign to get the barge shut down. This is largely due to a death of a 27-year-old man last year. Stand Up to Racism is the name of the group. They're now working with other organisations. They say they want a people's inquiry into the barge and the barge's safety to be debated in the House of Parliament. They say the barge is inhumane. So two stories relating to immigration now. I don't know how much success that pressure group will have, but they're certainly calling for a people's inquiry, saying the barge isn't fit for humans to live on.
Well, Gemma, I'm no fan of Stand Up to Racism. I mean, they're a hard left, far left group, and they heckled me and other people in the Lewisham East hustings for the by-election that happened in 2018. Very, very nasty and aggressive group of people who were there carrying Stand Up to Racism flags. But on this issue, I would agree with them for completely different reasons, and they are suggesting this Bibby Stockholm barge should be shut down and and should never have been brought to Portland in the first place, because what it houses 500 migrants. I don't think it's even ever been full. It's only got 300 on there. The amount of money which is going into this one barge for 300 asylum seekers, many of them bogus asylum seekers, you could say, is huge. And we are paying for it, you know. And yesterday, I understand, there were 534, I think that's the right figure, migrants being escorted to Dover, coming across the channel in small boats. So in one day, you've got more migrants coming across the channel than the whole of this barge could house. Really, you know, if you want to put people up in barges, you're going to need not one, you're going to need 200 or something. Every coastal town in England and Wales is going to have a barge in it with 500 migrants on, if you're going to actually be able to house everybody coming across in this kind of accommodation, if they do not do what is necessary and stop the boats from coming across the channel.
Well, you're quite right. Yeah, I mean, it was on Sunday that there was a record number just in one day, 534. Now, that's not totaling the entire amount of migrants that came across the channel over the course of the weekend. I mean, it seems to be record levels increasing day on day coming across the channel now. And of course, the barge itself, it had to be evacuated because of an outbreak of Legionella's disease at one point, so that it wasn't being used then. Huge amount of taxpayers' money being pumped into keeping this thing afloat, literally. But this first time we've seen, we normally do see a lot of protests outside of these things. You've got like former RAF bases have been proposed as places to house migrants. Obviously, hotels in local communities have been used or have been proposed to house migrants. And what we do see often is a campaign of opposition outside of these properties saying, no, we don't want them here. We didn't ask for it. Who are these people? Which are perfectly valid questions to ask. Who are these people coming into our communities? What we're seeing here is the opposite. We're seeing a group, you know, Stand Up to Racism, the Friends of Portland, all these different organizations saying we support the asylum seekers and we're on their side and we want better conditions for them. We want them to be welcomed more. And barges like this aren't the way to do it. So we are seeing more of a kind of kickback against local community opposition, of which there is in Portland. There has been a very big groundswell of opinion. Portland is a small working class community. It doesn't have the infrastructure to house migrants like most of the communities where migrants are put. But we are seeing this pushback of campaign groups getting together and saying, what about the migrants? We need to look after them. So I wonder if we will see continued sort of groundswell in favour of migrants around other parts of the country, like we're seeing here just off the island of Portland. I don't know. Whether there'll be a people's inquiry, I'm not sure about that. That's what they're calling for. It could just be headline grabbing from Stand Up to Racism, who do get a lot of funding and are on the other end of the political spectrum. So it could just be that.
Yeah, I think it probably is, you know, some kind of publicity. Any publicity they get gets them more funding and gets them more airtime, so people are aware of their name more. And of course, they are totally in line with what the Uniparty is doing. And they've got people in the civil service who are, which is drenched in common purpose ideology that support immigration. They're not doing anything. A lot of people in the civil service are either, you know, not worth the money that they're paid, or they're actually undermining and actively undermining any attempts to reduce immigration and stop the boats from coming across the channel. So I really don't, I don't agree with their motives as such. But, you know, in this particular case, it would be good to stop these barges. And there's only one barge here in Portland, and to, take the migrants off there. And so that Portland, a very small community, tight-knit community that simply can't cope with this number of migrants, can get back to living at ease. Because I think, you know, we've had people on from Portland before on the show, and I think they are really suffering, and the community is really being affected by this with, you know, obviously, they don't have the GP surgeries, they don't have the doctors, they don't have the dentists and, the medical facilities to cope with migrants here, the transport. And Obviously, crime is an issue as well with mostly military-aged men in what is, you know, also a holiday area where people are going to come in the summer and, you know, wear beach clothes. And for military-aged men from different cultures where they have very different attitudes, this is going to be a big problem when the summer comes along. So anyway, Gemma, thank you so much for bringing those stories today and telling us about the latest news headlines. And just before the break, I will tell you about something that is happening on the May bank holiday weekend, and this is the a Truth Festival. So if you would like to see all of your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then this the Weekend Truth Festival is for you. It will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Shemarani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, Allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. And this is across one weekend, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th of May in Workington, in near the Lake District in the UK. So all you need is to bring a tent, a sleeping bag, some good vibes, and food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will all be provided on site. So for more information about the festival and to find out how to reserve a place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. Don't hang around though, because there's only a limited number of places still available. Sounds good to me. Anyway, thank you for being with me. We will be back with our guests after this break. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Lembedope.
Money is a problem for you. Does that make you into a communist?
Not at all, not at all. It's just the way that money is brought into circulation. You know, most people don't understand that concept. We live in a debt-based fiat economy. And the way that money is brought into circulation is basically out of thin air. You know, you go to the bank, you ask for a loan, a mortgage or something. The bank doesn't hold those funds within their vaults, whatever you want to call it, and then they literally press a button and that money gets brought into circulation through thin air through the Bank of England. They're given to that person, and then that person has to pay that money back with interest on top. So that whole concept of the way money is brought into circulation, it is a form of control.
Limit. Obic. And today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
It's time to switch on
today's News Talk Radio.
Very entertaining.
Yeah. TNT.
Welcome back to the David Curtin Show on today's News Talk, TNT. Now, it is fantastic to have with me in the studio now, Laura Hurley, who is a Heritage Party candidate. So I know you, Laura, because you're standing for us in Southend. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. I'm really pleased to be on here today. I've got a lot of information I need to make the public aware of.
Yeah, you do. And you gave a speech at the last Heritage Party conference, and that was on 5G. Now, that's something that a lot of people are concerned about. Why are people concerned about 5G, and what's your concerns, and what do you need to say about this?
Well, basically, in my ward, 2 years ago, a cell tower was put in near to where I live, and I was really shocked to see it. I didn't know it was getting put in my neighbourhood, so I started to investigate it. And I found out from the council that these towers have been put in with no risk assessments and no real health and safety. So the safety certificates for some of these towers in Southend have got company names on that are not actually registered at Companies House. And the applications for these towers, the company names for those are also not registered at Companies House. So I think this is quite a serious issue, because whether you believe 5G is safe or not, we do not have any real health and safety or risk assessments around this new infrastructure. We have got 18 towers in Southend with these certificates with a company name on that was dissolved in 2015. And these certificates are supposed to ensure public safety. So as I've gone further into investigating this, it's got worse and worse. So that's really my main concern. Obviously, I've written to the council about this. They've written back to me, and I've asked them who is responsible for the liability for any of these towers, especially the one nearest me. And they've replied saying this is not for the council to answer. And I've had that on many of the other questions I've asked them.
That just sounds astonishing. I mean, the first time I saw a 5G tower was 2019, and it was some new huge thing. I'd never seen it before. It was jarring the first time I saw one. But since then, in the 4 years since then, they've become ubiquitous. They're everywhere. They're all over the place, in every city, in every town, even every village, even in the middle of the countryside. But, you know, I've heard this before from various people, but you've explained that a bit more. These things then have basically got fake safety certificates. I mean, surely these safety certificates then are null and void, because if they're given by a company that doesn't exist anymore, you know, it's like being given by Mickey Mouse or something. I mean, it really.
Yeah. So basically, the certificate I have for the South Church Road Tower, nearest to where I live, has a name on it, 3UK Limited, and the company's address. Now, people that I've met over the last 2 years and worked alongside have investigated this, and this company was actually dissolved in October 2015. So I've gone to the council and asked, how can they ensure public safety with a certificate that is, it's a self-certified certificate as well, because I've also found out that ICNIRP, which is the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation, does not actually produce these certificates. The telecommunications companies do them for themselves. So that's another angle to it. And also, this isn't just happening in Southend. This is happening across the UK. And I have dug into other legislation regarding this rollout, where they had loosened up some of the rules and regulations around this to get this implemented quickly, which I'm really disappointed to see, because it's putting at risk, even if you don't believe in non-ionizing radiation being bad long-term exposure to humans, the one nearest to where I live is right next to a petrol station. And it could blow up, you know. Who's going to be liable for damages? This morning, I've dropped my daughter off at school, and there was a loud explosion, an electrical compound opposite the school. And that isn't even a 5G, you know, mast, which is huge. This is a small compound. So we've got no public liability or insurance around these towers. Even if one of them blows up, who's going to be liable for damages? So basically, the council's telling me they don't have the answers to any of those questions at all.
But do the council,
you know, I've asked
give...
how can a non-existing legal entity make any sort of declaration, let alone one about public safety, that isn't registered at Companies House? And they've just answered me, this is not for the council to answer.
Well, I would think it certainly is for the council to answer, isn't it? They're neglecting their responsibility, I would say. Because surely, I mean, do the council give permission for these towers to be located in certain places?
Yes, so the planning department does put these through? And the answer I keep getting is that they have followed the national planning guidance from the government and followed all the guidance correctly. So they've put these in and they think they've covered all the bases. Obviously, they're saying to me it's not in their jurisdiction with regards to these safety certificates or the applicants' names on the towers. But really, it should be in their jurisdiction because they're supposed to be looking after the public in Southend. They're, you know, their friends, their colleagues, their family that are going to live and have to work around these towers. And I'm really disappointed because I did speak to a local independent councillor recently, and I mentioned to him about what was going on, and he told me that they are aware that these non-ionizing radiation does cause health problems for people. And that really shocked me because I was really, really upset about that, because I thought even if you were ignorant to it and you didn't realize and you were just rubber stamping this through, I could understand that. But these people do have an inclination it can cause health problems. And it's just really, really disappointed me that they've allowed this to happen in our town with their friends and relatives and people that have got to live within this environment now.
Absolutely. Look, Lara, stay with us. We're going to come back after this short news break and talk more about this very important topic. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
Real news. Don't get it confused. TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese praised the country's stringent gun laws following a deadly stabbing spree at Westfield Bondi Junction Shopping Centre in Sydney, where six people were killed and 12 others were injured by Joe Cauchy, a knife-wielding attacker. Tesla shares fell this morning following the company's announcement that it will lay off more than 10% of its global workforce due to declining demand for its electric vehicles amidst intense market competition.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the David Curtin Show here on today's News Talk, TNT. Lara Hurley is still with me, and we were talking about 5G towers and 5G safety. And I was very shocked by what you said just before the break there, that certain councillors have an idea. They have an understanding that 5G towers and the radiation that is emitted from them could possibly be harmful to human health. But yet, they're still going ahead and allowing them to be constructed. How on earth can this happen?
I think it's because of the smart city agenda. So Southend is earmarked to become a smart city by 2050. And obviously, there's probably a lot of money involved in this. And they're not, they're not looking at the long-term implications to our communities and our society. It all might look good on paper, but it's really, I mean, obviously, we really need to look into this kind of thing before it goes any further, because I really don't think it's going to benefit our children and grandchildren long-term. I just want to say quickly as well, with the health and safety situation, the ICNIRP Commission, and I did find this out through my journey on this, that they do not cover people with implants, IG pacemakers, safety from 5G towers. So that's another thing. The ICNIRP Commission does not cover that. So that's something our council should have looked into, that and people living within the vicinity of this mast, whether they do have any implants, because it is very important for the health and safety of the public here. And another thing I'd like to say is, these towers in our area have been put in the most deprived areas first. And I know the wealthier areas, because the people are more aware, they've stopped them being put in the posher, most wealthier areas in where I live. Wow. And I just find that really sad too, because we did meet another councillor that actually told us they know that the poorer areas will not contest something like this, so they can get away with doing it. We went and spoke to some people that live near one of the biggest towers in Southend, and the road right opposite, and they told us they put that tower in at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, so it just shows you this has been rolled out with no transparency to the public at all.
Mm. There seems to be no notice and no consultation for when these towers are put in. I mean, you're talking about Southend, but I hear from this around the country. I even see it myself, yeah. You know, outside the local station one day, there was just a huge tower. It was there. It was like some pristine construction. It had just appeared overnight, just like that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah. You know. So that's incredibly cynical that they're doing it first in the areas where they know people are less likely to complain. And maybe, you know, they're looking to see what the effects are on those people.
Maybe, yes. We did get wind of one they wanted to put in recently, and me and Bianca campaigned it and stopped it being implemented. And in a nearer to Southend in South Church, and literally they give you 1 week to contest it. They only sent letters to a very few houses in that area, so people had no idea that this could happen and be put in next to a park and 200 meters from a school. And I just find it appalling that the members of our council and the people in the planning departments are not questioning this and saying, how can I sign this off when it's going to affect my community? I'm really, really quite upset about it, to be honest with you. Mm. Also on my journey, I have been working alongside another organisation called AICS, who are really, really want to raise awareness about, you know, the effects of this long term. And the work they're doing is brilliant, because they're just getting information out to the people that the mainstream media will not put out.
Absolutely. Now, AICS, I believe that stands for Adult Child Health and Environmental Support. And yes, looks like a really, really good organization. You're involved in it. And they're campaigning to make awareness of what these things can do. But what are the actual effects and potential effects of this non-ionizing radiation? I mean, to everyone, it should be obvious. I mean, microwaves are non-ionizing radiation. If you stick your hand in a microwave, you're going to get your hand cooked. You know, it depends on the frequency and the intensity of the radiation, but certain frequencies and certain intensities can have a harmful effect on humans. And also, if they can affect humans, well, they're going to affect smaller animals, like including pollinators like bees and insects and so on, even more than they affect humans, let alone bacteria and plants. So obviously, you know, to anyone with a thinking mind, you've got to make sure that whatever radiation you're exposed to is not of a harmful frequency and not of a harmful intensity. But people are being exposed to this. There are cases. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yeah. Through this organisation, AICS, who Nicholas Martin and Michael and Amanda Kenton set up, I have met scientists and doctors on Zoom calls that have given evidence that this is actually harming people, and there's been studies done now. Obviously, I'm not a scientist, but this is what I've observed and I've listened to. And what's not been taken into consideration from what I've gathered from these people speaking out is the long-term effects of low emission radiation, because that's what builds up in our system. It's not so much, it doesn't heat you up like ionizing radiation. Non-ionizing doesn't heat you up, but it's the long-term exposure that can affect us physically. And there's professors and doctors calling for health and safety around this apparatus. So then I go back to these certificates, which have company names on that are dodgy, that don't exist, and the applications for these towers, the names on those don't exist to company's house.
Wow.
So then you start to wonder why. Why are they not putting the correct company names on? Because if this infrastructure is so safe, then why have we got these dodgy certificates all across the country?
Yeah, you would think that if there will be no problem, there would be no need to deceive anybody if they were actually safe. And by not having real names of real companies, then nobody's actually liable. It seems to me that this is what's going on. So somebody somewhere must know that these things are dangerous.
I'm now going to be writing to the Levelling Up section of the government. I can't remember the full name of it. I've just been given the name by the council to contact them, because apparently this infrastructure has been rolled out from that central point. So it's the correspondence at levellingup.gov.uk I'll be writing to next, to find out why they've allowed this to happen and haven't looked at the health and safety around this before the rollout.
Yeah, with the whole levelling up agenda is a huge thing, and it's portrayed in a way to, again, play smoke and mirrors and deceive people as to actually what it is. And you know, Madeline, another person from the Heritage Party, explained this very well. What levelling up is, it's not actually making every council more prosperous. It's actually going through some predetermined stages of changing governance and implementing the fourth industrial revolution and wokery and digital control systems in every area through local councils. So obviously smart cities, low traffic neighborhoods, 15-minute cities, 5G control grids are all part of the same agenda. They all fit together and work together. So this clearly is what they want. And this is part of levelling up. It's not giving you more youth centres and more libraries and looking after our parks. It's giving you more 5G towers and more surveillance. That's what it is.
Exactly. And I'll be honest, David, Southend at the moment, they've spent no money on the roads or the rubbish clearance. It's been left to rack and ruin, but they've got enough money to put 5G towers everywhere and surveil everybody. And then if there is a crime committed, 9 times out of 10, nothing will be done about it. So you know they're not putting this infrastructure in for the good of the people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're standing in the local elections, which are only a couple of weeks away now. They're on the 2nd of May. You're standing for a ward in Southend. You mentioned Bianca, obviously she's standing as well. And we have, you know, you're one of 7 candidates standing in Southend, which is so fantastic. You know, you've done a really great job. You know, you teamed together there, putting forward, you know, the case that the Heritage Party has got for our local policies, and this is one of them. How are things going for you in your campaign and raising awareness there?
Yeah, it's going really well. To be honest, I'm so busy. I mean, we are fitting in leaflet dropping in and canvassing around my full-time job and everything. But the reason why I've stood is really because I'm so sick and tired of seeing the injustice in the world. And then the people around me, oh, well, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. And I've decided there's no point keep saying that. People need to stand up. We all need to make the effort to start change. It can't happen with one person. Everybody has to realise that the people need to get together and put pressure on these institutions to make sure they're doing the things for the good of the people. And I think that's why I've ended up standing, because I just can't just watch it keep going on and on. I'm nearly 50. And what am I going to leave to my children if I don't do anything about it? Leave them on a planet where we're going to be in 5G, you know, the Matrix and social credit system, which I definitely do not want to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I would echo that message as well. That's very, very well said, because a lot of people, you know, they know there's something wrong. They can see it, and it's far more open now. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was just a general feeling and everyone was concerned about political correctness. But now we've had 4 years of insanity where people have imposed lockdowns on us. They've stopped us from going to the shop. They've stopped us from traveling. Now they're stoking up war all over the place, and they're implementing 15-minute cities and neighborhoods. You can see this. Oxford, obviously, is a really good example. You know, what you're saying in South then is the plan to make it a smart city by 2050. And people don't, you know, they can understand there's something wrong with this, but it's still portrayed and promoted to us in terms of being something positive. Oh, the city's going to be smart. That sounds good. They don't realize smart stands for surveillance, monitoring, analysis. What's the R? I forget the R. Technology, recording technology. It's not good. And so people need to get involved in the political process. And I really, really appreciate you that you have done that.
Yeah, thanks, David. Well, I couldn't sit around any longer after what happened in 2020 and just watch this all happening and not stand up and say, hang on a minute, something is wrong. Like, we're living in these, you know, we're getting top down, telling us what we can and can't do. And our communities are being destroyed at the moment. I think so. In the areas we live, I just see deprivation. I don't see things improving. I see things getting worse. But we've got all this money for all this technology and not enough for the basics, which is ridiculous. Yeah. You know?
Absolutely, yeah. It certainly is. The government is hypothecating money for technology and for climate nonsense, but then there's less money for fixing potholes, and there's less money for youth clubs, and there's less money for parks, less money for libraries, but all this money for 5G surveillance towers, and it's absolutely wrong. Anyway, look, Lara, I wish you the very, very best in your election up in a couple of weeks' time. I hope you get in, and obviously Heritage Party policy is to have a complete moratorium on 5G towers until it is proven that it is safe, completely safe for humans, animals, pollinators, bees, plants, everything. We can't have this technology going everywhere if it is not shown to be safe for all animals, all species, and it's not going to cause immense damage, both in the short term and the long term. Lara, thank you so much for joining
me.
Great to see you.
Thanks,
this is today's news talk, TNT.
We come from a long line of farmers, and there's a sense of pride with being part of these multi-generational businesses. But there's also a significant amount of pressure. My senior year of high school, my dad made the decision that this world no longer needed him in it. I don't know if he was overwhelmed by the bills and checks that weren't going to be coming in because of the strawberries dying off, but it breaks my heart that my dad made a permanent decision for a temporary issue. Don't feel like you have to go through it alone.
Farmers have to take care of their physical and their mental health, because what's a farm without a farmer?
The mornings, that's my time. Watching the sun come up, I can have a cup of coffee and exercise if I want to. It helps me start the day with a sense of gratitude.
Yay!
Every day is a new opportunity. Don't forget to check in on yourself. Love your mind.
Hi, I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pretirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Boom.
This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the David Curtin Show here on today's News Talk, TNT. Now, the other big story in the headlines at the moment, which we haven't spoken about on the news, is something that is going on and is continuing, and that is the situation in the Middle East, of course. And the reaction to that in the West is very strong. There's a lot of people who are commenting and making comments who are either in the media or in Parliament as well. So, of course, we know at the weekend, Iran retaliated against Israel for Israel bombing its consulate in Damascus, and then some of the missiles got through and hit the Nevatim Ramon airbase in southern Israel. No one was killed in the Iranian strikes, but I think they did destroy some airplanes, some buildings, and so on the airbases. Now, what would be sensible for everyone to do is to say, well, look, Israel has struck Iran, Iran has retaliated proportionately, which they have. Let's just draw a line under this and realize if we escalate and have tit for tat, tat for tit, then we are going to go further and further into towards a regional conflict, which could escalate and spin out of control into World War III. Even some of the war hawks are calling for calm, which is very, very interesting. Now, Biden said he's not going to support Israel if they attack Iran back, which is very telling because he's been quite hawkish. And of course, he's surrounded by neocons who are supporting Israel 100%. In fact, many of the people in the Biden regime have joint US-Israeli citizenship. 85% of the people in his regime are Jewish, and many of them have that joint citizenship. So you can question whether their loyalties lie with the United States or whether they have a prime loyalty to Israel. I'm sure some of them do. Apparently, it's anti-Semitic to say that, according to the International Holocaust Remembrance Association's working definition of anti-Semitism. But I don't care about that. I just care about the truth. And I certainly don't want money from Western countries, from our lands, going to support the Netanyahu regime, which is killing tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians at the moment, mostly women and children. The thing is, with all of this conflict going on between Iran and Israel, it's taken people's focus away from the horror that is what is going on in Gaza at the moment. Now, there's no question that this is an ethnic cleansing. I would also call it a genocide that is in progress. It's obviously they haven't killed all of the 2.2 million people in Gaza. They've only killed, I say only killed 1.5% of them. They've killed about 33 to 34,000 Palestinians in Gaza at the moment. But, you know, if they continue, then they're going to kill how many? 2%, 3%, 5% of the people who live in Gaza. And then maybe some of them, obviously we know, want them all to leave, and they want them to go to Egypt or go to Europe. And some of them actually do want to level the place and kill everybody. Some deranged statements have come out of the Netanyahu regime in the nation that calls itself Israel against the Palestinian people. And don't get me wrong, I'm no fan of Hamas. What Hamas did on the 7th of October was dreadful. It was the very least an act of mass murder, an act of war. Of course, the border fence, the most secure border fence in the world, was left unattended at the very time they came across. So somebody somewhere in the Netanyahu regime and the Israeli Defense Forces must have let that happen. And of course, also we know that Hamas was originally created by the Israeli state when Netanyahu was there as prime minister before in the 90s. It was funded by Israel. It was nurtured by Israel in order to create another power structure in the Palestinian Authority that would counter Yasser Arafat, who wanted a two-state solution, who nearly negotiated and got a two-state solution. And of course, Netanyahu, right back 20 to 30 years ago, didn't want that. So they funded, created, grew Hamas to stop that from happening. And now it's turned into a monster. It's grown into a tiger that has turned round and has turned on its creators. So we need to remember that and also make sure that we don't stop calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, because that is absolutely necessary to stop the genocide. And then we can hopefully get back on track with whatever peace process can happen in the future. But Going back to the situation with Iran, even though Biden has called for for de-escalation, for calm, David Cameron has also called for calm. He's also called for Israel not to retaliate, as he says Iran's drone and missile attack had been a near total failure. Now, of course, that's derogatory to Iran. That's, you know, putting them down. It actually wasn't a failure. They did do exactly what they wanted to do, which was retaliate proportionally. But he's maybe our unelected foreign secretary who, in the previous decade, was a total war hawk. He started the military action by the UK against Libya, obviously with Obama in place in the White House at the time, oversaw military action in Iraq and Syria, taking British troops and as part of a concerted NATO or Western action to spread war around the Middle East. He was very much a part of that. Even he is calling for people to be more sensible at the moment and not to escalate. So I think, however, what he is saying is he's framing this in terms of saying, look, Israel, save face. Iran's attack was a failure. Don't respond. Just call it quits and save face and say that their attack didn't do much damage. Well, actually, I think the reality is that Iran's attack was very, very limited compared to what they possibly could do. They could have attacked or retaliated far, far more strongly than they did. And they've said if Israel retaliates against them, they're going to retaliate against Israel even more strongly. And the people who are in positions of power like Biden and Cameron, they actually know this and they don't want this to escalate into a nuclear exchange, because that's not going to be any good for anyone, anywhere. Russia will get drawn in, America will get drawn in, and very quickly, that's game over for everybody. So I hope that this is going to end with both sides being able to save face and say, yeah, we won, we spanked them, and Israel, the other side, can say, yeah, we won, we spanked them, and then there will be no more actual hostilities, retaliation, attacks, and loss of life. One person, however, who didn't use any kind of common sense or filter from to his mouth was the former Defense Secretary, Ben Wallace. He said here, the only way to deal with a bully is to retaliate. When Iran and Russia hit, we need to hit back twice as hard and not stop until they get the message. Well, if we do that, then we are just going to get tit for tat, as I said. I mean, that is a really statement that hasn't been thought out whatsoever. You know, calling Iran and Russia the bully in this, both those different situations, is not correct. Russia has gone in to Ukraine with a special military operation. They're holding back. They could have gone in far harder and stronger, but they are just at the moment slowly taking areas of the Donbass where there are ethnic Russians living. Of course, it's the West who are really the bullies, not the people of the West, but the people who've got into positions of power and done a bait and switch. I mean, look, nobody in 2019 who voted for Boris Johnson and the fake Conservatives would have even thought that there would be a war in Ukraine, or even thought that there would be a new war in, or a conflict or conflagration in, the Middle East. We voted for Boris. I didn't vote for Boris, but personally, I voted for the only party that was on my ballot paper that was not of the Uniparty, which I would recommend anybody to do. But people who did vote for him, they both voted for three words: get Brexit done, because that was the number one and only issue for a lot of people in 2019. There was 4 years of stalemate in Parliament since the referendum. up to that election and then onwards to when we actually finally left the European Union and came through the transition period and then finally left out of it. And I don't think the people who voted for Biden, probably hard left cultural Marxists, a lot of them, or people who just, you know, didn't actually understand what he was for, never thought that they would be giving hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel. They certainly didn't want that. So people didn't vote for this, and we need a way out. So please do, in the next elections, vote for people who are going to stop the war and stop giving money to murderous regimes. This is today's News Talk, TNT.